Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present on history.org. This is Behind the Scenes.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm Harmony Hunter, and today my guest is Dylan Pritchett, who is part of this September's storytelling concerts. Dylan, I'm so happy to have you here with us today.
Pleasure to be here.
I wondered if you would just tell me a little bit about what you feel is important about storytelling. Why are you a storyteller?
Why am I a storyteller? Storytelling is the link between the past and the future. Storytelling is how we teach our children. Storytelling is how we pass on what grandma used to say and make sure that it's still relevant. Storytelling is what is a movie is. Storytelling is a documentary. Storytelling is how we've, you know, gotten to the point where we are. Storytelling is an adult art form that happens to also be done for children, which is the other reason storytelling should be told, to teach all kinds of moral lessons and to teach children how to problem solve, how to use their mind. But more importantly, whether it be for adults or children, storytelling is the art of listening, not necessarily just the art of telling, because it creates listeners. Because whenever you read a book, for example, authors take a lot of time to develop sentence structure and to develop theme and to put all of that together to create a book. But storytelling is the same, because the storyteller takes time to figure out what words to use and how to construct and how to paint that picture through words and voice. And if you're in an audience, you know, with body movement. And so there's a lot of time that goes into constructing a story. And if you're not listening or haven't learned to listen, you're fidgeting and haven't learned how to concentrate, or you haven't processed, you know, learned how to process information, then you don't get the story. And when it comes to children and storytelling, that's what's important, because it's not just important to teach facts and figures and historical figures and historical events, but it is how do you use that? How do you then process that? And if you haven't listened correctly, you may have missed something that's, you know, very important.
You mentioned the way that a storyteller constructs a story is just, it's analogous to the way that a historian constructs, or a writer constructs a passage. Tell me about that process for you. What's your process?
There's got to be a purpose for the story. Mm-hmm. So then the question is, how do you reveal that purpose? Do you pose it as a question at the beginning of the story? Or do you find something that's comparable to what the average listener would understand? And then you just go about the process. I have a children's book called The First Music, and it was a story that evolved, because the original story was written from sounds that I heard when I first went to Ghana, which was in 99. It was my second visit to the continent of Africa, but the first time to Ghana. And we were at a hotel, and in the morning I heard these birds singing outside, and these birds were totally different. Wasn't a cardinal sound, wasn't a blue jay sound. It was a different sound. I didn't know what kind of bird it was, but it was beautiful. And I just listened. I said, wow. Then another bird started singing with it. I said, wow. I said, you know, this music is kind of cool. It's different. And I said, and you know, if they say that the Garden of Eden was in Africa, so I can imagine what the sound of a lot of different birds would have sounded like. And Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they were the first ones that would have heard this music. So they heard the first music. No instruments, just birds. When I said that, I said, the first music. So I wrote down the first music. And so the name of my children's book is The First Music. And it's about an elephant that walked through that was walking through the woods and had some clay on his toe, and he shook it off. And then he started hitting on it. And it made a sound. It was going ba-da-da-boom, ba-da-boom, 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 ba-da-da-boom, ba-da-boom, 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 ba-da-boom. I said, wow. I said, and then, you know, if you're going to have people playing music, you got to have what? You got to have a shaker there. You got to have another sound. And so what happens is the monkey hears it and follows and says, what you doing? He says, I don't know. Then the monkey starts moving up and down on the limb, and it starts making a sound going sh-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And then the crane landed on crocodile's back, and crocodile was moving back and forth to the music, and the crane was losing their balance, but it was scraping the back of the crocodile's back, and crocodile have little bumps on its back. And so it started sounding like what African instrument called the balafone, was sort of like a xylophone, going ding 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 ding. And what happened is everybody was doing something. And then, you know, so I said, that's the first music. So I just had to figure out how to get to that point. But when the editing process came about, the publisher says, well, everybody doesn't play music. There's got to be an audience. Put an animal in there that does nothing. So I put a frog in there. And whenever the frog was asked, well, why are you not joining in? The frog would say, frogs have short arms and cannot play, short legs and cannot dance. There's nothing we can do but watch and listen. But I didn't kind of like that, but I put it in because the editor liked it. And then right before we were going to do the final edit, I said, you know, I don't like this. I said, we could print this, but I really don't like this because when it comes to music, everyone has something special to add. So I wrote that down. Everyone has something special to add when it comes to making music. And that's what happens, is that I went back and I put that on the sixth day, Frog went to the pond to ponder, which is the best line in the whole book. And then went to the pond to ponder. And so then on the next morning, they heard an instrument called, you know, the guido. It's a little round instrument with ridges on it. And you take the stick and it goes, mainly played in South America. And I said, hey, that sounds like a frog. And so that's what they heard on the seventh day. And they went there and the frogs were doing that. And then the elephant says, keep up that beat. And then he starts playing. And then and all these animals. And then they say, we thought there was nothing you can do. And then that's when the lion comes in. Everyone has something special to add when it comes to making music. And then the story ends. That frog loves to sing. Every evening at dawn, he can be heard practicing. And all of the animals love to play. And oh, how sweet the sound when they play together. The deal is that, you know, it evolves, is that you sit down and figure out what is it you want to say, and what you want to say may change, but then you figure out how to get there. But when it comes to storytelling and people who put stories together, there are a lot of people who construct stories differently. Some never tell you why they told the story. My style is to always discuss the story so that people understand what elements were in the story. But then there's some that just leave it open-ended. They'll say, you know, my mother always used to say, if you do things slow, you'll get it done faster and better. It wasn't until I got married that my grandma, that understood all what she was saying. The beginning of my understanding was in, you know, they go on. And some people just narrative tell us. They just start talking, you know. I grew up down on Richmond Road way back when there was nothing there. I really did. I grew up in Lightfoot. Say that was the name of an Indian. There was Indians up the street, the Druids, but, you know, and then just go on. Matter of fact, that's true, too. But, you know, it's like writing a book, but just with, but not with a pen.
Dylan, it's been a pleasure having you here today. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks. And I hope whoever can be at the storytelling concert, they need to be there because we're definitely going to have some fun. You know, come out and listen and enjoy.
Thanks, Dylan. And for folks who are interested in coming out for the storytelling concerts, those are September 19th. We'll have two shows, one at 2 o'clock and one at 7 o'clock, and tickets are available from 1-800-HISTORY. So come on out and join us for the storytelling concerts.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. We like hearing from you. Send us a comment at history.org/podcasts. Check back often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.